Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery. I'm Al Warren. Mr. Dave Martino is here.
I'm here. In the house.
Yeah, you're in the house.
I'm in the house.
We're back at her again.
It's back
at the grind.
That's right.
We're grinding like coffee.
That's right. For another year.
Another year.
2024.
Another day, another dollar. You know, we should start, you know, this just, you see, Amazon's going to charge for ads, right? Or going to have ads or pay $2 more. So,
oh, for the video. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll charge a dollar then.
There you go.
Yeah. Pay a dollar.
We'll just jump right on the.
Yeah. No ads for a buck.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Do that per episode. Yeah, I don't think it'll work.
No.
They'll start listening to authors on the air or something. I don't know.
Yeah, right. They'll have to send it to us, you know, send money via mail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Post.
Cash and post.
Western Union.
Yeah. Post is going out the door too, you know.
I know.
Well, let's see. Now we're continuing with the murder this week. Okay, not real murder.
Yeah.
This is like fictional murder, crime murder, fiction, you know, all that stuff. So we've got a returning guest and her new book, Murder at the Pontchartrain. And it's the Sidney Lockhart Mystery Series. And this is book 6, I believe. No, it's book 5 or book 6. Well, let's talk. This is book 6. Get your stuff together here. So Kathleen Kaska, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. So now this is book 6, right?
This is book 6, yes.
Perfect. So, Sidney Lockhart. First of all, who is Sidney Lockhart?
Sidney Lockhart is a 29-year-old woman. She lives in the 1950s, and she is trying to make it in a man's world as a private detective. And, you know, women had challenges back in the 50s, and I didn't want to make things easy on her. So this is what I designed for her. She's a detective, and she didn't start out that way, but it just kind of happened with the first mystery. And usually in the books, she checks into a historic hotel, and there's a murder, and she's usually the prime suspect. So she has to not only solve the murder, but she also has to clear her name. So there's a lot she has to deal with in these books.
Boy, sounds like it. How do you decide, because book 6, so you've kind of got the same character going through. How do you decide what kind of things or murders they're going to have to solve? Like, how does that come first to you? in each time you write a book in the series, or is it something else?
Well, the first thing I do is I select the hotel, and I do research, and they're usually hotels that I've stayed in quite often, so I'm familiar with the setting, the hotel, and their location, and I start doing some research, and I'm a pantser, so I don't really outline beforehand. I just start writing, and things begin to unfold, and I write nonfiction as well, but the fun thing about writing fiction is that I never really know where I'm going to go. I kind of let my characters tell me their stories, and I just write it down.
So that's interesting. How do you pick your hotels? Like, what is it? I mean, other than, of course, you've stayed there, so you kind of got the sense of the hotel, but is there something in particular that you choose a hotel for?
Yes. I look for hotels that are mainly in the South. Most of my books are set in Texas. I have one set in Arkansas. And, of course, Murder at the Pontchartrain is set in New Orleans. But I look for hotels that, of course, were around in the 1950s and that are still operating today. So if you pick up my book and you want to read it and then you decide you want to visit the hotel, well, you can. So that's about really the only criteria I have is I have to be familiar with the hotel. It has to be in the South, and it has to still be in operation today.
Okay. There doesn't have to be a murder or something that happened at the hotel. It's just sort of, it's more about the atmosphere of the hotel, I guess.
Well, no, there does have to be a murder at the hotel. That's true. There has to be a murder there. And like I said before, Sydney's usually the suspect because she's around the area when it happens.
Well, of course. We've got to blame it on her anyway, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering, too, with the Pontchartrain Hotel, did you pick the Pontchartrain Hotel specifically because of the hotel itself? Or was also New Orleans itself a factor? Did New Orleans make a great setting for a mystery?
New Orleans makes a wonderful setting. In my book right before this, the fifth book, Murder at the Minger, there are a couple of scenes that take place in New Orleans. Murder at the Minger is set in San Antonio, but the story leads to New Orleans for part of it. And so I really liked the atmosphere of the city. And when I decided on my sixth book, I said, okay, I need to send her back to New Orleans because it's got such a mystery around it. And there's so much that I can add to my book. Like when you think of New Orleans, you think maybe of the voodoo mystique it has. So I've added some of that into my book. In my book, I pick a lot of locations and businesses that are still in operation, like the restaurants and the clubs and things like that. So when somebody's reading my book, they can get a real sense of what it's like being in that city.
Well, how do you get them into the 50s, though? Are you going through old newspapers or old films or something? How do you bring back that time?
I do some research. I go to the hotel and I see what I can find out there. And then I have gone to the libraries and looked at old newspapers. And I look for real events that took place in the hotel or in the city where they're set that I can use in the story. I don't always do that, but I try to. Like Murder at the Galvez, which is set at the Galvez Hotel in Galveston, Texas. I used a real controversy that was going on in the 50s to weave it into the murder plot of that story.
Well, that's interesting. And I guess you also pick up kind of the dialogue and the slang from things like that as well, right?
Yes, I have a whole folder on dialogue and slang from the 50s and expressions and things like that. Yeah, I do. And plus, I read a lot of books that were set during that decade or even earlier in the 40s. And that helps also to get my mind in prepared for what it's like and how people act and how people talk back then.
Yeah, and I would imagine it would be one of the hardest things just because you've got her as a female trying to be in a detective world in the 50s. I guess bringing up how general people would react to that would be kind of one of the harder things to kind of get out so that people understand that today.
Right, right. She runs up against a lot of discrimination, you know, you can imagine, and a lot of questions like, you know, what are you doing in this field? You have no business in this man's world and that sort of thing. She does have a partner in her detective agency. In fact, they opened up the agency together. And not only are they partners in business, but they have a relationship going on. So, you know, there's that. And he's kind of a segue into allowing her to get her foot in the door to some of the places she has to investigate. So, yeah, but there's always that question about what are you doing here? Why are you asking these questions? You're a woman. You know, you don't have any business in this field. And so that's there.
Was the PI business very different in the 1950s?
There weren't many women in that business. And it was quite a bit different. There's a lot of investigations where you go out, you interview people and you follow them and you have stakeouts and that sort of thing. Whereas today, if you're a private investigator, a lot of your work is done online.
Right.
So,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big difference. So
oh,
it's
yeah.
Hands-on. There's a lot of activity going on, going to different places, interviewing people, getting in trouble, and finding yourself in a tight spot that you can't get out of. So that doesn't happen that much today with private detecting.
Well, how about liberties? Do you have to take a lot of liberties with what a PI can do in real life? Because I know sometimes they're not allowed to, you know, interfere with the criminal investigation, stuff like that. Is there stuff that they can do within a fictional story that they can't do in real life?
Oh, a lot. Yeah, I can bend the rules a lot, but I try not to bend them too much because I want the book to be real. I want to be it to be based on how things really are. So I will have other people read my books and people that are in the business and, you know, can give me some suggestions on if I've done anything wrong or if I need to fix anything. For instance, I just finished another mystery, and this is not a Sidney Lockhart. It's a mystery set in Curran times in on the Cornish coast in England. And so, you know, I'm not English. I do read a lot of British mysteries. So I found a person who got his training as a detective in that area of England, and I sent my manuscript to him, and he gave me a lot of good suggestions. So I try to find a beta reader that knows the era or knows the area and can check me out to make sure that I've covered my bases.
So what got you into writing and writing mysteries? That what is it about these mystery and crime stories that you like so much?
I've always enjoyed mysteries, and as time went on and the more I read, the more I wanted to see if I could just actually write one. I started off writing mystery trivia, and because in the 90s, and it's still true today, it was easier to get your foot in the door of publishing if you publish a nonfiction book or if you write a nonfiction book. So, and at the time in the 90s, trivia books were really popular. So I started off writing the Agatha Christie trivia book and went on to write the Alfred Hitchcock trivia book and the Sherlock Holmes trivia book. The Sherlock Holmes trivia book is still in publication. It's in its third printing. The other two right now are out of print, but I'll see what I can do with that. Anyway, so I started off publishing these first 3 mystery trivia books. And that was a good education for me. So it was several years before I decided to try my hand at writing my own mystery. And it took a while to get the feeling of it. But what helps me the most is reading mysteries that I like that would be similar to what I'm writing. The Sidney Lockhart mystery has, even though it's set in the 50s, has been compared to Janet Ivanovich's Stephanie Plum series, which I think is a compliment. So the characters are zany, and there's always something crazy going on, and that's the flavor of those books.
Who inspires you in the mystery world?
Well, my favorite authors, Janet Ivanovich, and then I've read a lot of Dick Francis and Carl Heisen, and I really love Martha Grimes, Elizabeth Peters, Spencer Quinn. Let's see, there's a Texas author I really enjoy. He writes the Blanco County mysteries, and his name is Ben Ryder. So that's where I get my inspiration is from other authors who I really, really enjoy.
Well, when you talk about zaniness, you're talking, basically about humor. And I'm just wondering, when you put humor into a book, just like a stand-up comedian is said to need timing to make the joke go over, do you feel that there's a comic timing of sorts that's needed to make prose fiction humorous?
Well, yeah, and that comes along in the dialogue. Sydney has a cousin. It's kind of her sidekick. Her name is Ruth. She's very different from Sydney, and she is best described as a blonde bubblehead, and she's always coming up with weird ideas, and she gets her words wrong, and she sounds like she's just, really a dumb blonde, but underneath she's really very smart. But Sydney plays into this dumb blonde personality that she has. So a lot of the humor I write into it has to do, with the characters and their relationship and the crazy things they get into. There's another character in the series. She showed up in the fourth book, Murder at the Driscoll, which takes place in Austin, Texas. And she was only going to be in one book, but she was such a hit that she's one of the regular characters now. And she is a 12-year-old girl who is probably the smartest character of any of my characters. So, and she's just wonderful. I just love having her in there. I've gotten a lot of positive comments. Are you going to bring back Lydia? It's like, yes, she's a fixture in the series now.
What's your relationship with your characters? Like, do you hear them, see them, feel them, or describe what you deal with when you're writing these characters?
I guess the best way to describe it is that I just listen to them. They tell me what's going on, and I start writing, and then it just snowballs from there. A lot of authors say that they have conversations with their characters, and it's not so much that I have conversations with my characters, but I can hear the conversations they're having with one another. And I just start writing. And that's the fun part about writing fiction. It's almost like reading fiction, because I never know what's going to happen in the next chapter. I mean, I might have some ideas, but I just play along to see what's going to happen. And then when I'm about 3/4 into the book, that's when all the hard work starts, because I have to go back and make sure everything ties together and make sure all the loose ends are tied up. And I usually do not know who the killer is until my character does. And at that point, I have to go back and do a lot of rewriting, put in the red herrings and that sort of thing. But that's fun too. You know, it's like putting together a puzzle. You know where you're going. You're not sure how to get there. And then things might change at the end. And a couple of times I've changed the killer at the end. But I'm pretty much just kind of sitting back and watching the show, listening to the characters and visualizing what's happening.
Well, you talking about tying up loose ends. That speaks, I guess, to continuity. And I'm just wondering, how do you keep your continuity accurate? Do you have a series Bible? Do you have a system? Do you take certain notes? How do you keep everything basically tied up so that everything kind of works together through these books?
Okay, I have a notebook which I keep with me, and when I get to that point where I have to start putting everything together, I'll go back and I'll read it and I'll make notes and I'll make notes of what days things happened and what I need to look for. And then I will outline the scenes that I've already written, so I know what happened in what scene. And, I just kind of, it's kind of like a backward outline. You know, a lot of authors will outline first and then they'll write, and I will write and then I will stop and go back and make an outline of what I have already written so I can keep things straight in my mind. And I have a notebook that I use, and I, you know, take notes in it and ask questions and make notes of certain pages that I need to go back and check. So I guess you could say I kind of work backwards.
I do the same.
Better backwards than not working, right?
I mean, right.
So what's the hardest part of writing one of these books for you?
That's it right there, tying up the loose ends. That's the hardest part, because sometimes things don't run as smoothly as I want, and I'll have to go back and make changes. And making changes is like, you know, you make one change and then another change has to happen and another change. It's just like knocking down a row of dominoes. You know, you have to just make sure you've got everything covered. Changes are important because, you know, you don't know if a certain scene fits in a certain place or maybe you should move it. And once I start doing that, it becomes complicated, and that's where the work starts. It might take me 3 or 4 months to write the first draft and maybe 8 or 9 months to pull it all together once I'm done.
So what do you have a point, or do you have some sort of a theme or something you want people to get out of reading these books?
Well, it's mainly dealing with a strong young woman who's determined to make this career work. That's the theme. It's a strong woman trying to make it in a man's world. And that's why it's set in the 50s, because it was much harder then than it is now.
So it's like Barbie.
kind of, yeah.
How much of yourself do you think goes into Sydney Lockhart or any of the characters that you have?
Well, the way I like to answer that is that Sydney's kind of my alter ego, and she does things that I would never do, and she says things that I would never say. And so I can, like, work my fantasies out through her. I wish I could say I was as bold as she is, but I'm not. She's someone who I wish I could be like, but I can't. So I write it into the story. I mean, I'm not going to go around with a gun in my purse. I'm not going to go around, with tracking someone in the dark in a cemetery or in the woods. I'm not going to do that. So she's bolder than I am.
Well, speaking of your characters, you know, you mentioned that you had a character who's a 12-year-old girl. Over the series, are you going to have your characters age? Is she going to age throughout the series, or is it going to be slower? How do you handle that?
Well, I like to look at my series. I like my characters to move on and to grow and to develop and change, because that's what you do in life. You're not stagnant, you know. But the change happens slowly. Like the first six books occur in like a year and a half of Sydney's life. So it's changing. New characters are coming in. Old characters are going out. Sydney's moving along with her life. There's always that wonder of when Sydney and Dixon, if they're going to get married and when they're going to get married. And they come real close several times, but something always gets in the way and it doesn't happen. So there's a progression in their lives in the story. But from one story to the next, it's usually only a few weeks before one mystery is solved and the other mystery starts, and which kind of makes sense because they've got a detective agency. So there are different cases coming in all the time.
You know, your extra characters, too, your side characters and stuff, where do you get them? Are they sort of influenced by people you've seen around?
No, they're not. They're characters that just seem to hook up with my main characters. The only character that I've really sort of envisioned from a real person is Sydney's cousin, Ruth. But she was kind of built on, she's similar to a friend of mine, which I kind of say that hesitantly because the friend that I was thinking of when I was developing Ruth is a lot smarter than Ruth. But she was just kind of a model for it. But usually my characters aren't based on anyone I know. They just kind of show up, you know, they just kind of show up in Sydney's life and they work, you know, they work. Sydney has a brother and her parents are in many of the stories. Ruth is in the stories, Lydia and Dixon. And there are other characters that, you know, appear at times. So it's like a family, you know, it's like a family that's moving along. And, you know, in your family, you meet new people and some of them stay in your life and some of them fall by the way.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Side, and then you just move on.
So what do you got coming up next? Like what's going on with Kathleen now?
Well, I have a lot I'm working on. I'm working on the seventh Sydney Lockhart mystery. I've got two, after this one, I've got two other hotels that I have on my list that I want to use. I also write another series called the Kate Caraway Animal Rights Mysteries. And there are three in those series. They're set in current times. Again, my character is a woman who's trying to make it in a difficult world. She is an animal rights activist, and each of my books is set around an animal rights issue. And then, I just finished the British mystery, and I have a hard-boiled detective mystery that is set in Manhattan in 1945, and that's ready to go out the door. So I basically write what I like to read, and so I've got several things going on at one time, which is good, because I like to write so many hours a day, and if I ever come to a point where I don't know where I'm going, I'm stuck, then I can go to another story and work on that, so I can feel like I've been productive throughout the day.
Yeah, keep busy, you know,
right.
All that stuff. Are you on social media? Do you have a website? How do readers find you?
It's real easy. It's just my name, KathleenKoska.com. And I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You can go to my website and find out how to contact me. But then I have an Amazon page. So I'm out there on social media. Just, you know, Google my name and you'll find me.
Yeah, you're around. Well, fantastic. We'll have all of that up on our website too, so people can find you easily.
Thank you.
And of course, the book. We've got Murder at the Pontchartrain, and that's a Sydney Lockhart mystery. So Kathleen Koska, the author, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Kathleen.
This has been a production of the House of Mystery Radio Show. To find out more about our show, guests, or hosts, go to our website at houseofmysteryradio.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.